Hey, this is Dr. Dave, and welcome to episode 55 of Slice Your Age.
Welcome to Slice Your Age, the show where we help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. Now, here's your host and personal coach, Dr. David Matto.
Hey, so it's Dr. Dave back with you today. Thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate you. And today, I've got a surprise for you. It's going to be an incredible show because I've got actually two guests with me today. You're going to love them. The first one you already have met. Her name is Sharon McCrae. And Sharon was on the show, I think it was just a few weeks ago. We did a great episode on cancer prevention, nutrition, healthy eating, and there are a lot more things we talked about. But let me tell you something. It was really just an incredibly well-listened show. Sharon was great, full of information. So I'm really happy to have Sharon back. So hey, Sharon, how you doing there?
Hi, Dr. Dave. I'm happy to be back. Thank you.
Hey, well, it's great. And Sharon, I want to thank you so much again for being a guest a few weeks ago, because like I told you right after the show came out, just the downloads were just going nuts. People from all over the world were listening to this thing. They loved you. I just actually had somebody, I think Facebook messaged me a day or two ago and said they just started listening and their favorite one so far was the one with you. So I just want to, I didn't tell you that before, so I just want to let you know it was a pretty cool show.
Well, that's an honor. Thank you.
I asked you to come back and you had an idea. You said, I'll come back on the show. I have a lot more to talk about. But you said, if I come back, I really want to bring my very good friend, Chef AJ, on the show as well. And I said, well, you know, I don't really know Chef AJ, but if she's a friend of yours and you say she's really knowledgeable, that's fantastic. So I said, sure, without even knowing much about Chef AJ. In the meantime, I went ahead and researched her. I watched a lot of her videos, went to her website. And let me tell you something, she's big. She's incredible. So we brought her on, and I actually think she's with us right now. So Chef AJ, are you there?
I'm here, Dr. Dave. I can't wait to talk to you guys. This will now be their new favorite episode, having two answers.
Now, I know Sharon's local. She's fairly close to me, even though the three of us are not really in the same room right now, as you can tell. But Sharon's with me here in Maryland. Chef AJ, you're coming from the other coast, right?
Right. I'm coming from Los Angeles, California.
You're a Southern California woman. Have you always been there?
No, I was born in Chicago, where I'll be this weekend at the Veg Fest. I lived there for 11 years, but I'm spending the rest of my days in the sun.
Well, as a matter of fact, you're from Chicago. I love the city. And guess what, Chef AJ? Guess who else is going to be at the Chicago Veg Fest this coming Saturday? Guess who?
President Obama.
Well, no, it's he may not be there, but better than President Obama, Dr. David.
I'm going to get this you, Dr. David. We're finally going to get to meet in person.
We are going to meet in person. And I hear you're giving a little cooking demo, right?
2 o'clock at Chicago Vegan Mania. I'm going to teach people how to satisfy their sweet tooth without using sugar, one of my passions.
Well, you'll know who I am, and the reason you'll know who I am is I'm going to be the one in the front row heckling the heck out of you.
Really? Well, then, you know what's the best time to go to the dentist?
You tell me.
2:30, get it?
You know, wait, Chef AJ, I heard that you have done stand-up comedy in the past. Are you still doing stand-up comedy?
Well, with jokes like that, apparently not. But yeah, I'm really not. I think I retired from stand-up the same year I went to culinary school, 2003. But, you know, you can find me sometimes on YouTube. I was on The Tonight Show and I did a few other things. But I try to incorporate humor into my lectures and demos. But as far as just getting up there on a mic where it's just me, that's hard. Stand-up comedy's hard.
It's very difficult. And the funny thing is we have a lot in common, Chef AJ, because I did some stand-up comedy for 2 or 3 years in the Maryland area here. And, you know, I do a lot of speaking all over North America. And I immersed myself in the world of stand-up comedy because – I really felt that it would help with my onstage presence, my speaking, my, you know, quick thinking, things like that. And
right. You probably, absolutely,
it does, doesn't it? It's incredible. It's not, it's like you said, it's not easy at all. It's very difficult.
It's not
actually.
Easy. Well, even taking improvisational classes will help because you know, not everything goes according to plan on stage or in life, and you have to be able to think on your feet and, you know, go with what's happening. If microphones aren't working, if waiters are dropping plates, and you have to really learn to be in the moment, and you have to be in the moment doing stand-up. You can't just recite some old lame joke if the audience is, you know, heckling you. So I think it's the best training ground for public speaking.
It really is. And let me tell you now, I'll tell you how I spent my weeks, and I want to ask you if yours were the same, but I spent my weeks doing a lot of open mics, writing my material, practicing. And the typical open mic I'd get to, and it would be basically at some bar, and I'd be up there speaking, and the audience would be made up of four or five drunk comics that were waiting to do their open mic as well, with basically nobody else in the audience.
And nobody paying attention, exactly. And that's where you learn. And, you know, humor, if you are funny, you can get them to actually pay attention. That's why I think some of the best speakers in our movement or in general are ones that do incorporate humor into their presentation.
Absolutely.
Like Dr. Michael Greger, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. Well, that's funny. So that might explain why I could not get those drunks to pay attention to me. I probably wasn't good enough. That could have been a
start. Back to the drawing board.
But anyway, we're here to not only are we here to have fun and do some comedy, but we're here to really help our guests learn a lot about health, nutrition, just living the best life possible. As you know, Chef AJ, well, Sharon definitely knows, but Chef AJ, the show is called Slice Your Age, and I teach my listeners how to be stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. And it's not all about being thin, because as I learned from Sharon a short time ago, you know, you can be skinny on the inside and fat. I'm sorry, no, it's skinny on the outside and fat on the inside, which we don't want to be. So enlighten me. I want to tell you, I've heard so many good things about you, and I know Sharon so well, and you two are like such a cool team, that I told Sharon a little while ago before the show started, I had a whole bunch of show notes. I just put them in the recycling bin. I do not have them in front of me. This is going to be totally free form. We're going to do something I've never done on this show, and that's whatever comes to our mind, we're going to talk about. Keeping in mind, we really want our listeners to listen to this and get so much out of it and feel like, wow, I listened to this episode and I know so much more now about health, about food, about what to eat, what not to eat. And so I'll start it off there. I'll just ask you, Chef AJ, because we did talk to Sharon a few weeks ago. And by the way, if you're listening to this and you did not hear Sharon's episode, go back and listen. God, I don't have it in front of me. I really apologize. I believe it was episode, Sharon, you might know, I believe it was episode 42, but I feel bad I don't have it in front of me.
You know what? I'm thinking it was 49.
I'm sorry. You might be right. Was it 49?
I think so, because you just did 52. Recently, right? So I think it's 49.
Okay, so yes. Yeah, so thanks for checking on that for me. I think it's 49 too. I don't know why I said 42. So if you haven't heard that episode 49, go back and listen to it. You'll get to know Sharon a little more. You get a lot of great information. So we know Sharon's story, but Chef AJ, I don't really have your story yet. Tell me a little bit about yourself, like where you were years ago, how you got into this kind of healthy eating thing, sharing these great ideas with other people. Tell me all about you.
Yep, absolutely. Like everything else in my life, Dr. Dave, I got in it the hard way, and I'd be happy to send you a copy of my book on process, which tells my story, but I'll tell it pretty quickly. I'm 54 and a half years old, and at the age of 17, I attended the University of Pennsylvania to become a veterinarian, and I always joke that instead I became a vegetarian. Because what happened is the first day of school, they asked me to cut off the heads of a tank full of live salamanders. And I didn't want to refuse the doctor, the guy with the white coat. I was on scholarship, so I cut one head off of one salamander. I puked my guts up, and I said to God, I'll never eat, wear, or use any product tested on any of your creatures ever again, which is a very noble thing to do, because I have been an ethical vegan for over 37 years. However, in 1977, this was before the internet, before we had PCRM or Neil Barnard or any Forks Over Knives or Esselstyn or Campbell, maybe they existed, or McDougal, I didn't know who they were. So I did everything wrong. I became what's called a veg-junctarian, and all I ate was junk food. And I did this for about 26 years, from the age of 17 to the age of 43. My four food groups, instead of what they are now, which is fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and legumes, was candy cakes, cookies, and pie. And basically all I ate was crap. I would start my day with a Coke Slurpee with vanilla syrup. I would drink Dr. Pepper. Now, all of this stuff was vegan, but I wasn't eating any fruits and vegetables. So I don't think health is necessarily from a vegan diet, but from a whole food plant-based diet, preferably without oil and minimal or no sugar or salt as well. But I didn't know this. So I kept eating crap, and at the age of 43, I woke up bleeding profusely, and I went to the doctor. I had an HMO at the time, and they said, oh, it's just hemorrhoids. I said, this isn't hemorrhoids. I had hemorrhoids. This is something serious. I need a colonoscopy. My grandma died of colon cancer. My uncle has no colon as of a week ago. And they said, well, no. And so I had to fight the system for 6 months, and then finally they gave me what's called a sigmoidoscopy, which doesn't even go all the way up the colon. And they said, well, yeah, you do have what they call pre-cancer. They said, you have several of these very large bleeding edematous polyps. Your colon is riddled with them. If we don't remove them, they always turn into cancer. But the problem was is they couldn't remove them during the sigmoidoscopy like they normally do with the calipers, or they would risk infection because my colon was in such a bad state of health. So they said I'd have to come back, take lots of drugs, and have surgery. And I said no, because I'm deathly afraid of anesthesia. I had an allergic reaction to it when I was 19 on a same-day operation, and it's always stayed in my head. I remember being resuscitated in the recovery room, and I just will not have surgery. I mean, I guess maybe if it was to really save my life in an accident. So I said, no, thank you. And instead, I went to the Optimum Health Institute on July 6, 2003 in Lemon Grove, California. Would have gone to True North if I had known about them then. Had a Coke Slurpee in one hand, a Dr. Pepper in the other hand, and I went into this kind of rehab-type place, wonderful place. And it's the first time in my life that I ever heard from anybody, let alone doctors and nurses, that what we eat has a profound effect on not only how we look and feel, but what diseases we get and what diseases we can reverse. So I followed their diet, which was actually raw. I don't believe you have to have a raw food diet to gain health, but it was, and it was whole food, plant-based, no sugar, no oil, no salt, no gluten, no processed food. And I actually stayed on it for 2 years, but 6 months after following their diet, I went back to my HMO, had a repeat sigmoidoscopy, same exact gastroenterologist, and he said that my colon was pink, clear, clean, and vascular like a newborn baby. And he kept poking me, and he said, where are polyps? I go, well, I don't know. I said, I changed my diet. He goes, well, that's impossible. And he stormed out of the room, and the other doctor that was assisting, who was from India, once he was out of earshot, she came up to me, she goes, I believe you. And it was then and there that I realized that diet, no matter what we were told, is really important.
What an amazing story. I know you were kind of going fast and rushing through that, but that's Chef AJ, yeah. That's incredible stuff. And what about weight wise when you were eating all that junk, what kind of weight did you gain?
Well, I was what Dr. McDougall affectionately calls the fat vegan. I weighed up to 180 pounds at 5'6", and now I'm a svelte, 117 to 120, eating more food than I ever ate in my life because I'm eating the correct way. So I remained fat for a long time eating a vegan diet because it was a junk food processed vegan diet, not a whole food plant-based diet without oil. Big difference.
Okay, amazing story. So thanks for sharing that. It's just incredible. A great way to start this off. And Sharon, you can feel free to, get into this anytime you want. But I want to know from Chef AJ or Sharon also. So tell us what is involved in this. What did you change to that made you so darn healthy? Because I want to know what to eat. Of course, you know I'm vegan as well. And I think I eat a very, very healthy vegan diet. I certainly do not eat junk food. But I will tell you, I've spoken to Sharon quite a bit. And I know about the SOS, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And Sharon knows that I still do eat some oil. I consume some oil. So I want to hear all about what you're doing, and so enlighten us, please.
Well, Sharon, I'll let you go because you know everything you say is exactly what I'd say. We're like two twins that were separated at birth. So whatever you say is exactly what I'm going to say. So you go first, Sharon, and then I'll pick up any slack. Right. There won't be any.
Okay. As far as oil goes, if you think about what oil is, it's extracted from a whole food. So it's processed. It's not a whole food, and you're missing the fiber and all the micronutrients, most of them, that come out of that whole food. For example, when you look at olive oil and you look at the nutritional breakdown of it, all it is pure fat and a trace amount of vitamin E. And all of that for 13.5 grams of fat and 120 calories per tablespoon. So I wouldn't call that a health food. And when you think about how people use olive oil, they generally take the bottle and pour into the pan and then stir fry their vegetables. So they're taking a dish that might have been very low calorie and high nutrient density, and they are basically diluting it with all of that fat and extra calories. So that's my first problem with it. And, I'm a health coach, and I work with a lot of people who have weight issues. And I will tell you that one of the things that they notice is when they give up the oil, that they start to lose weight effortlessly. It's very easy to stir fry your vegetables in water or vegetable broth. You really don't need to use oil. It's a myth. You can take a hot pan and just add your onions directly to that, and they start to get a little brown and they caramelize and the natural sugars come out. And then you just add a little broth when they start to stick. And you can use spices and make your dish very flavorful without it. As far as using oil in things like salad dressings, I prefer to use the whole foods. So I'll use nuts or seeds or avocado as a base for salad dressing. And I have to say that since eating this way, I really, really don't miss oil at all. And in fact, if I do go to a restaurant and I happen to eat something with oil in it, it's very distasteful because my palate has adapted now to the taste in whole foods without the added oil. So I'm very sensitive to oil in my food, and I don't like it, and I don't like the oily feel either. As far as sugar, obviously, I think we all know there are so many problems with sugar. There's just so much sugar in processed food and restaurant food. Same with salt. And AJ taught me so many tricks in her book, Unprocessed, which I highly recommend. It was the book that really helped me to transition my three kids to a completely healthy plant-based diet. She has some great recipes that use nuts and seeds as a base in desserts and in all kinds of dressings and sauces. And dates for sweetness and other fruits, you know, dried fruits, obviously, but also just really ripe bananas, for example, can be the base of an ice cream. And as far as salt, there are some tricks that she taught me, like using lemon zest and lemon juice and apple cider vinegar kind of gives you that same zing that you get from salt. So it's very easy to eat a truly whole food plant-based diet without resorting to those refined and processed foods.
So, okay. So first of all, Chef AJ, Sharon's really talking your book up quite a bit, and I was going to ask you to send me a copy, but since I'm seeing you this weekend at Chicago Vegan Fest, I fully expect you to hand me one right there.
Absolutely. I will stop everything, Dr. Dave, in the middle of the presentation. Once I find out who you are, and I'll go, stop! The presses. Dr. Dave is in the house. He must have this book.
Hey,
now.
Hey, dare you. I double dare you to do that.
Oh, I'll do it. So.
But let me.
Once I ascertain who you are.
Well, I'm going to be the one heckling you with the Dr. Dave shirt. But so let me ask you. Okay, you're recommending that we're I'm totally sold on the sugars. I've been telling my listeners since the first episode of Slice Your Age, get rid of the sugar from your diet totally. So you're preaching to the choir there. I totally agree with you on the sugar. Yep. The oil, are we getting rid of the oil because it's actually, it's got a lot of calories. It's gonna make you gain weight. Or are we getting rid of it also because it's actually really bad for your body? It's gonna cause harm or both.
Both. You know, one of the best explanations is in the movie Forks Over Knives when they do the graphic of your endothelial cells, also in the book Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease by Dr. Esselstyn. He talks about how the endothelial cells are the life jacket of your circulatory system, and just a little bit of olive oil impairs blood flow for like 6 hours. They have this test that was done by Dr. Robert Vogel called the brachial artery tourniquet test, which showed that just a single drop of olive oil impaired the blood flow as much as somebody eating, say, at McDonald's. So it is health, but, you know, when you think about it, you can believe in anything you want, but I personally believe that we're not designed to eat processed food. And like Sharon said, oil is a highly processed food. We are not telling people not to eat fat. You need fat. Your brain needs fat. And we think fat in its whole food form, like nuts, seeds, and avocado and coconut, is great. But think about how much fat our ancestors actually ate. Even people that believe in this paleo diet, they weren't opening up coconuts and making coconut oil back then. Fat was a rare commodity throughout most of human history. Our ancestors, they were seasonal, by the way, fats in general, nuts, seeds, and avocado, but also they had to open each one by hand. Now, we have a nation right now of people that are two-thirds overweight, half of those are obese. If you look up the definition of junk food in the dictionary, most people would agree that the definition of a junk food is a food that has very little or no food value, but lots of calories. And so people always agree that sugar is a junk food. Well, sugar is 1,800 calories a pound. Oil is 4,000 calories a pound. It takes 16 ears of corn to make 1 tablespoon of corn oil. I don't know about you, but I've never been able to eat 16 ears of corn. I've never even been able to eat 3. Because whenever you process a food, whether it's olives into olive oil or corn into corn oil or sugar beets into sugar, you take everything that was good about the whole natural food, which is the fiber and the water and the vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals and antioxidants, all the micronutrients, these are thrown away in the sludge in the processing, and you're drinking the non-nutritive portion. So oil is 4,000 calories a pound. Vegetables are 100 calories a pound. It's 40 times as calorically dense, plus it has no fiber. It doesn't fill you up. It has very, very weak satiety. Now, one of the things I learned from one of my mentors, Dr. John McDougall, who will be speaking on November 2nd at Healthy Taste at LA, is he's been saying for 40 years, the fat you eat is the fat you wear. And it doesn't matter if the fat comes from a nut, seed, oil, or a pig's butt, but oil is the most fattening food you can eat. And again, without that fiber and water to fill you up, it's just too easy to overeat on. The other thing is one of my specialties is treating people with food addiction. And when you eat something that calorically concentrated, and believe me, there's nothing as calorically concentrated as processed oils, the more calorically concentrated the food you eat is, the more dopamine, a neurotransmitter that sends pleasurable signals to the person, more dopamine is released. And so people eat these very highly caloric processed foods to gain pleasure, and there's nothing more calorically dense than oil. So, you know, as a chef, I can tell you that oil is not why your food tastes good, because oil actually coats the taste buds of your tongue, and in order for you to now taste the food, you need to add things like salt and like sugar. As Sharon said, once you get off it, you really find it's very disgusting, so much so that when my husband and I, having been oil-free for 6 years, are forced to eat at a restaurant and do get some oil, we actually get nauseous, sometimes to the point where I've even vomited. Think about it. Try to drink. If you love oil so much, drink a cup of it, and I guarantee it's an emetic. You are going to vomit. It takes 44 olives to make 1 tablespoon of olive oil, and most people don't eat that much of the whole natural food. So again, it impairs the endothelial function. It's just really high fat. You know, Dr. Esselstyn's done so much research on this and has reversed end-stage heart disease in patients by giving them a oil-free diet. And Dean Ornish, the Time Magazine Man of the Year, who was the first person to successfully reverse first heart disease, same thing. Very, very, they recommend both a very, very low-fat diet. Now, I don't necessarily recommend a low-fat diet to everybody, but I always recommend an oil-free diet. And the thing is once you get the oil out of your food has so much more flavor. However, if you're eating processed foods, it's going to be very hard because the evil trinity of sugar, oil, and salt is in almost every food product you buy in a can, a box, or a bottle, or a bag, which is why Sharon and I recommend that you don't buy foods that were manufactured in a plant, but just eat foods that came from a plant. And we recommend fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, and a little bit of nuts and seeds and avocado.
You know, I'm sold. I'm serious. After hearing that, I am totally sold. I believe you. You know, the sad thing is it's been pounded into my brain for at least, I think, the past 30 years that olive oil is a healthy oil and we need oils. And so, you know, consume olive oil. It's going to make you healthier. It's heart healthy, blah, blah, blah. It's been pounded into my brain. But here's, I've got a little bit of a dilemma, and I want either of you to comment on this. So I've got a brand new bottle of flaxseed oil in my fridge right now that I spent $24 on at the natural grocery store. Do I have permission to finish that, or what should I do with it?
No, you should give it to somebody you don't like that you don't care for. or just rub it. I tell you what, you know what a good use for oil is? Rub it on your skin, rub it on your hair, rub it on your wife, you know? But flax seeds, here's the thing. Look at it this way, Dr. Dave. And the other thing, what I was going to suggest is you have this wonderful show. Why not interview the expert like Dr. Esselstyn, ask him about it? But here's the thing. Let me ask you this. If there was something truly beneficial, heart healthy or brain healthy in flaxseed oil, or olive oil, would it not also be in the whole food from which it came from? Would it not also be in the flaxseed or the olive? Do these health-promoting compounds get put in the processing, or were they already there? So the idea is eat the flaxseed. Everything that was in the oil is in the seed, but with the seed you get so much more of all the fiber in the whole food form. So if you can't return it, you know, give it as a gift. Give it as a gift if it's unopened. Or if you have a dog, maybe a tablespoon in their food. But I wouldn't put it in my body now that you know what you know.
I've got 3 cats. Would they like it?
No, I don't know. I would ask, you know who I'd ask is you can have her on your show, our mighty May, the vegan vet. I would definitely ask a veterinarian, because I know too much oil and fat can give at least a dog diarrhea. So I would ask first. But, you know, I'm sure you'll find a use for it, you know.
I just want to add one thing. When you talk about flaxseed oil as opposed to the flax seeds, one of the things you're throwing away is lignans, which are phytochemicals that are actually very protective against things like breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So You're not getting the benefit. You may not care as much, but your wife might, you know, about getting that benefit in the food. So you're always throwing away something when you talk about an oil versus the whole food.
But let me make this clear. I do both. Like every single morning, Yoko and I have, we use it a lot on a lot of different foods. We sprinkle the flax seed, you know, the ground up flax seed all over everything. So I get a lot of that. I'm getting the lignans that way. But yeah, we use some of the oil as well. But I'm ready to get rid of my oil. No, I'm serious. I totally believe you guys, and I'm ready to totally get rid of it. I'm just trying to think who I hate that I can send that bottle of flaxseed oil to.
Hopefully no one.
No, I don't hate anybody.
I agree with
you. Do you agree with him with as far as?
I agree with you. He should use it as a moisturizer massage oil.
Right, exactly. It would be terrific, you know.
I'm going to do it.
I was going to say the other thing is and you know, here's the thing. You know, if you look at the Mediterranean heart study, and I understand that's what a lot of people quote, these people were healthy not because of their ingestion of olive oil, but in spite of it. Because what they learned, and I believe this study was done in the 60s on the Isle of Crete, and there's really, when people say Mediterranean, there's a bunch of countries, and they all eat somewhat differently. But these people that were done and that were studied in the Mediterranean heart study, they were plowing fields, they were walking 40 miles a day, and they were eating a diet rich with fruits and vegetables and whole grains and legumes. Now, what they did is they stopped butter. And they substituted olive oil instead. Now, is olive oil healthier than butter? Absolutely. But if you take somebody like me, whose total blood cholesterol is 99, whose LDL is 57 milligrams per deciliter, and start giving me olive oil, my cholesterol would go up. So what happened is these people's cholesterol went down, not because they ate olive oil, but because they stopped eating butter. If that's not enough, I don't know about you, but I like to eat, and I like to eat a lot. And every tablespoon of oil is 120 calories. My God, I can have a whole pound of my roasted balsamic Dijon Brussels sprouts again. You know, I want to be able to eat as much food as possible. And when you have such high caloric foods, you sure can't eat a lot of it without being overweight. And I work in LA with people that don't necessarily want to become plant-based or vegan. I work with a lot of people in the entertainment business, models and actresses, where they need to lose weight even beyond what a normal person would. They need to actually be skinny to get these parts because the camera adds 10 pounds, and they literally would be vegan. I'm like, fine, stop eating oil and stop all dairy. And they come back and they all lose 10 pounds because that's the highest source of fat and saturated fat in the American diet are dairy products, particularly things like cheese and yogurt and ice cream and oil. So, you know, it is, I know there's a bunch of people that believe it's good and stuff, but I'm telling you, all the doctors that I respect in this movement, Dr. Campbell, Dr. Barnard, Dr. McDougall, Dr. Furman, Dr. Esselstyn, Dr. Goldhammer, we're all the no-oil group, and I know we're a minority, but you know what? We're all slim. Look at Dr. Weil. He recommends oil, and he ain't skinny.
Look at that guy. I don't think I'd take any health advice from him. He's tremendous.
Yeah. Agree.
But he recommends fish, and he recommends the Mediterranean diet, and he certainly recommends olive oil. I can send you some links of things that you'd find very interesting about Nick Delgado has a YouTube about where he fed himself oil and how he became diabetic within 6 hours. So, you know, here's the thing. Dr. Michael Clapper, one of my heroes at True North, who's been doing this for 40 years, says the poison is in the dose. And I don't know you or your wife personally yet. Maybe you guys are slender, and maybe you have good genes, and maybe you exercise. So you could probably be healthy with a little bit of oil. But again, the poison is in the dose. And most Americans aren't just having a teaspoon or a tablespoon a day in their salad dressings. And that's the thing. They're really eating a very, very high-fat diet, and it's not from good fats like nuts, seeds, and avocados. And as far as cooking without oil, it couldn't be easier. Believe it or not, of sugar, oil, salt, the evil trinity, salt's actually the hardest thing to make food taste good without. But with oil, you can, like Sharon said, you can saute in broth or water or use waterless cookware. You can substitute higher fat foods like nuts and seeds. So you can still make food taste amazing with plenty of flavor. Again, we're not saying you don't need fat. We're saying you don't eat oil. You know, have you ever tried to make oil in your kitchen? I don't think you can. I can take an orange and squeeze it and get orange juice, but nothing happens when I squeeze the olive. And when I, you know, people that think they have to take fish oil, you ever try squeezing a salmon? You just end up pissing the fish off.
You know, Chef AJ Yoko is usually my co-host on the show, but she's not able to be with us today. But wait till she wait till I tell her shortly, sometime a little bit later today, that guess what? We're eating no more oil in this house.
Well, I'm going to send you some resources so that this makes sense, backed up by science, you know.
The other thing, Dr. Dave, is when you think about, you were saying that you've heard that olive oil is so healthy. Well, you also hear that meat is so healthy, and you need meat for protein, and you need dairy for calcium. So it's just another myth.
Yeah, I'm with you. So I totally get that. Let's shift gears a second and go to every one of my listeners know. I don't think there's anybody out there that's going to tell me that they think sugar is healthy. So we'll get back to sugar if we need to. But as far as salt goes, okay. So I'm a runner. I run pretty long distances. I sweat like crazy. I lose a ton of electrolytes. And I've got to tell you something. So sometimes after a run or even during a run, I do love to have, and I've told Sharon this, I love like salty nuts. That's one example. I love salty nuts. And I know from hearing from you guys, I'm going to probably have to cut that out also. My whole life is changing right now as we do this show. Everything about me is going to change. But I understand that I'm not going to be allowed to eat salty nuts anymore. Is that right?
You know, I wouldn't say allowed, because, you know, people that do exercise to the degree you do and are maybe get a little bit more depleted of sodium, again, you may have different needs than we're talking about the average sedentary couch potato that's eating processed food. So I think, and Sharon would agree, at least with our clients, the first recommendation we make isn't necessarily to ditch the salt shaker right away, but to ditch the processed food, because Americans get most of their salt from eating processed foods. And what people don't realize is that bread has more sodium than even, say, French fries or potato chips, where the salt is just used on the outside. So the first recommendation is to ditch the processed food. And I don't believe that everybody has to be completely salt-free. If somebody doesn't have high blood pressure and they'll do everything else I suggest dietarily except that, what I would suggest is to think of salt as the precious mineral commodity is. You know, salt came from the word salary, S-A-L, and that people used to be paid in salt. We had a saying, he's worth his weight in salt. So if people are insistent upon using salt, I suggest they use it in the way Dr. McDougall says, which is where they sprinkle it on the surface of their food after cooking, because when you cook with salt, sugar, or oil, it dissipates anyway. So you want it at the finish where the taste buds on the tip of the tongue can taste it. But there's so many tricks, Dr. Dave, for reducing salt. You know, 1 teaspoon of sodium has 2,300 milligrams of sodium, and we need such a small amount just for bodily function. If we just eat the way Sharon and I do, which is fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, a little nuts and seeds, we get at least 500 milligrams a day anyway. But there's products that I recommend, at least in the transition, things like raw coconut aminos, which is a wheat-free, soy-free, gluten-free soy sauce that instead of having however many, you know, 2,300 milligrams of sodium per teaspoon has only 113, or low sodium miso. There's brands of miso that has as little as 110 milligrams of sodium per teaspoon. You could have 24 times as much as these products. So I recommend those. I use a salt substitute called Benson's Table Tasty that to me tastes salty that I love. As Sharon said earlier, using lemon zest, lime zest, the juice of the lemon lime, vinegars give you a very, very salty flavor. One of the things I do is I buy spices at Penzies, like dehydrated celery, and I push that in my Vitamix, and that's my salt. So the thing is, you know, we need salt. It's a precious mineral. We have a biological need for salt, not for oil and not for sugar. But the thing is we want people as much as possible to get these vital nutrients from whole food sources. So how do you do that? Well, think about it. Most Americans eat 92% of their calories from animal products and processed food, and less than 10% from fruits and vegetables. And the vegetable that most Americans eat is the potato, which is a perfectly healthy food, except Americans eat it fried in sugar, fat, and salt as a French fry or a potato chip. When people start eating vegetables, Sharon and I eat at least 2 pounds of vegetables a day and more. They taste salty. When you stop eating salt, celery, chard, these things have natural sodium because we're supposed to crave sugar, fat, and salt. That's from historically, our brain is hardwired, but we don't have to get it from processed salt, processed sugars, and oil. We can get it from sugar from fruit, the fat from the whole food fats, and the salt we can get from the vegetables.
So what is the definition? You've mentioned processed foods quite a bit on the show so far, and I want to know your exact definition of what is processed and what is not processed. How do I know?
I think anything Yeah, I think that, and Sharon, tell me what you think. I think that anything that you cannot easily make in your own kitchen is processed. And I say easily because, for example, we have things that are a gray area. Like if I were to make a gluten-free brown rice pasta, that's processed, but I still would allow people to have it because anyone with some reasonable skill could do that. But I sure can't make agave in my kitchen or maple syrup or coconut oil or olive oil. You know, now tofu and tempeh, I consider those, like the pasta, minimally processed because I can do that. Do I choose to do it? No, it's labor intensive. In general, I would say that almost anything that comes in a bag, a box, a bottle, and a can is processed. However, I make a few exceptions. I do not always cook my beans from scratch, especially when I'm traveling. So if I were to buy a carton of aseptic, in an aseptic carton, some salt-free organic beans, I don't consider those processed because the ingredient is beans. If I buy some tomatoes in a package and it says tomatoes, so you know, there's a difference between process, I think, and refining. So I think minimally processed, as long as it's not refined. Also, am I taking something out of it? When they put the beans in the can, they're still beans. When they put the olive oil in the bottle, it's this liquid. It's this sludge. It's not the whole food anymore.
I agree. When they take something out of it, when they take something out of the whole food, like the olives out of the olive oil out of the olives or the flaxseed oil out of the flaxseeds, or they add a lot of things to it and they start fortifying it with all these vitamins and all kinds of other ingredients, then to me, that's a processed food. Whereas I will buy a glass jar of diced tomatoes. If I look at the ingredients list and it says tomatoes or tomatoes and water, things like that I do buy in bags and jars because, to me, those are not really processed. Somebody just took, you know, it's a convenience food, in other words. So they just put it into a container that makes it easier for me instead of having to dice up my own container. So if it's just cut up, if it's the whole food but just cut up or diced or something, I don't consider that processed.
Mm-hmm. If it has more than one ingredient, it generally has some degree of processing.
Okay, so I've got two examples for you that I want to run. Personally, I need to know this, and I really don't know the exact answer to this. And my first example, my first question is, and I hope you tell me this is okay, I swear, because I love this. I really love it. I have a feeling you might tell me it's processed. But okay, so number one, every morning lately, Yoko and I have been eating this, and I'm really sorry, I don't have the brand in front of me. I wish I did, but you might understand what I'm saying. It's one of these like veganically grown some kind of veganically grown cereal. So although it's processed, when you look at the ingredients, it's like a I'm trying to think. It's like a veganically grown maize, so it's some type of corn. But it looks like it's really, really healthy. As a matter of fact, this company that makes it, they track exactly where every single thing came from. So to me, the ingredients themselves, there's no chemicals in there, anything. The only thing that maybe you're going to poo-poo is there is some type of, and I can't remember, it might be some type of agave sweetener. I can't remember what kind of sweetener. So there is something like that in there. But tell me it's pretty decent. I get it at Mom's Organic Market and they tell me it's great. So what do you say about that one?
I'd say no, sorry. I'm a food Nazi, and if it has agave in it, I wouldn't eat it.
I think it's agave. Yeah, some type of sweetener.
The other thing is always, here's the thing. I'm a little less strict than Sharon for other people, not for my family, but I don't have kids, and I respect and understand the way she is. If it's going to keep you from going to McDonald's and eating an McMuffin, I would consider it like a transition food. But if you're going to eat grains for breakfast, you know, when I was in Japan, we had grains for breakfast. It was called brown rice, and they served it with miso soup and salad. I would recommend whole grains like the oat groats or millet or something that you cook with water, because then it's just a little bit healthier than these dry cereals. But I also recommend starting your day with vegetables too. So I'd like to see the label to further comment. But, you know, again, if you guys are slim, at your ideal weight, if you have no health problems and you want to consider it as a treat, but, if it comes in a box, I would say just eat the box because there's probably more fiber there.
Oh, come on. This stuff is they say it's good. And let me tell you, first of all, as far as your McDonald's comment, I will go to McDonald's. Two reasons I'll go to McDonald's. Number one, to use the free Wi-Fi if I ever have to do that. Or number two, to go to the bathroom. You will never, ever catch me eating anything. I would not even drink the water at McDonald's. I despise the food there. I think what they stand for is horrible. So you'll don't worry. You'll never find me. I don't eat junk food. But having said that, maybe I don't know. Maybe you think this cereal is junk food. But here's what I do. In the morning, I'll take some of the cereal, put it in a bowl. Yoko and I will cut up a ton of like organic fruit, just like either strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, bananas. We cut it. We cut up. We put it on the fruit. We put walnuts, flaxseed. What else? And some type of either hemp milk or almond milk or cashew milk, something like that. So to most people, I think the average, that's such a different world than going to McDonald's.
Right. You got to understand, Sharon and I have been this game at a long time and we're playing kind of at an A level, but you got to think of good, better, best. And Sharon, I want to cut Dr. Dave some slack because if he's giving up oil, I say, let's let him have his cereal for a while.
Oh, I've given him slack. I totally agree with you. But my only objection to that was really the agave. But I do want to point out to you, there is a cereal that I would let my family eat, and it's called Go Raw. And it's 100% organic original granola. And I'm looking at the ingredients now. It's sprouted organic buckwheat groats, organic dates, so there's your sweetener, sprouted organic flax seeds, and organic raisins. So that's a cereal. You know, when you can read those ingredients, everything in there is a whole food. So that's something I would eat, and it does come in a bag.
And Go Raw is a good brand. I've gotten a lot of stuff for that. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to run down. I'm up in my studio here. I'm going to run down and get that box. I want to read the ingredients to you guys. I want you to talk amongst yourself. It'll take me 30 seconds. Don't say anything bad about me. I'll be right back. Okay, but keep educating.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know if this tart is going to stay in his show. But since I'm meeting him on Saturday, he's going to be able to taste my granola, and then maybe he won't. And we can give him the recipe, and then maybe he won't need to buy the box cereal. You know. So what I'm going to do is, you know, the whole thing about I'm going to start adding when people say if I should eat it or not. Instead of just saying, "Can you make it in your kitchen?" I'll say, "If Sharon McRae will eat it, eat it. If Sharon McRae will not eat it, don't eat it."
I'm pretty strict, but it's like you said, I have the kids and, you know, for me, I don't want any agave in my life. It's highly processed, high in fructose.
I agree with you for me and my family. Sometimes it's so hard to know if you take too much away from somebody at the beginning. You know, everybody's different, of course. And, you know, like I'll still eat those potatoes that are organic. So I'm not playing at your level yet, but one day maybe.
Okay.
Well, you know what my motivation is.
Of course. Cancer prevention.
Yes.
And by the way, I hope you had a good conversation. I hope you enlightened my listeners. But I've got a box in front of me. I think I might be busted. I hate to say, I think you guys are going to scream and yell at me because at first the brand it's called 1 Degree Organic Foods, Veganic Sprouted Ancient Maize Flakes, gluten free. The way the marketing goes is just say they tell you every little bit of transparency, accountability, certified organic, veganic, non-GMO, sprouted grains. I'm not going to read the next thing as you're going to kill me, but here are the ingredients. They make this sound like it's so darn healthy. The ingredients are organic sprouted maize, organic.
Okay.
Oh God, I can't read the second one. You're going to kick me off my own show. The second ingredient is organic. I never knew this either. Organic, or maybe I intentionally ignored this one. But organic coconut palm sugar.
Okay.
Oh my God.
You know. Okay. Well, but here's the thing. You know, the sugar. You know, people will say, but it's agave, but it's coconut sugar. And the doctor that I work for, Dr. Alan Goldhammer of True North Health, says that just because something is less bad doesn't mean it's good. And, you know, if the sugar was the fifth or the seventh ingredient, I would say, well, maybe. But that's the second ingredient, which means that after the maize, it's more of that. And, of course, you like it because we love sugar. We love fat. We love salt. When I see you Saturday, one of my recipes is going to be my granola, which is made with gluten-free oats, water, dates, and raisins. And you're going to love it as much as this cereal, and you're going to be able to eat it.
I'm going to keep going on these ingredients. The next one is organic sprouted buckwheat. Okay, not bad, right?
That's fine.
Organic sprouted amaranth. That's not bad.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
The next one is not real good. It's unrefined salt.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, well,
and then we got tocopherols, which is like vitamin E. That's the last one. So
vitamin E. Yeah, you know. I mean, believe me, compared to sugar frosted flakes, it's way better. And so for somebody transitioning, but the thing is, you know, it really just depends. You know, I always tell people that this plant-based diet, or especially the version that Sharon and I teach, it's not a court-ordered program. It should be for some people. And it really depends what you're told on. And for people that are addicted to sugar, which a lot of people are, Americans are eating, and you as a dentist, you know, I mean, sugar is strong enough to destroy enamel. That's how bad it is. And it is a health-destroying product. And when you have foods that high in sugar as the second ingredient, you're really just perpetuating your desire to just keep eating more sweet. And I like to teach people to satisfy their sweet tooth with the fruit, the whole fruit, nothing but the whole fruit, so help me God. And when you take it out of the processed food, you can really enjoy a piece of fruit and have an orgasm, you know, from a peach, because you don't need all that. You know, for me, processed cereals like that, it's cake, because you got the grains, which is the bread, and the sugar, which is the you know, it's like eating cake for breakfast, and I wouldn't do that. So, yes, it's better than sugar frosted flakes, but it's not as good as eating vegetables for breakfast, which is what Sharon and I do.
Mm. Or if you need a grain, like AJ said, you eat the whole grain, so whole steel-cut oats,
right,
or like her
right.
granola, or rice, whatever, but the whole grain.
Well,
oat growth is great. Millet, teff, amaranth, but you want to cook it yourself so that it's absorbing water. See, the cereal you're eating, because it's a processed grain, it's missing water. And water adds not only to satiety, but it's so much better, because when you cook grains, they absorb water, and it's just so much better for you to eat them that way than to eat them dry cereal. If you were camping, would you eat it? Sure, but I mean, if you have a choice, you know, cook your breakfast. Anything you cook yourself is always going to be better than anything you get in the box.
I'll tell you what, this has been incredible. And what I'm going to do, we're out of time and it's gone so fast, but I don't want you, here's what I want to do. I want to get both of you back next week to continue this conversation, because I've got so many more things to ask you. And as a matter of fact, I had a listener email two questions in this morning that coincidentally are going to be perfect to ask the two of you. So would you promise me you'll come back next week and we'll continue this conversation?
Absolutely. And I think I saw one of those questions and I researched it thoroughly, and I have the answer actually from Dr. Campbell.
That's fantastic. So I'm going to say thank you so much for now. But I want to meet same place, same time next week. We're going to do this again, and we're going to continue this exact conversation. So Sharon and Chef AJ, thank you so much for being on the show today. I can't wait to continue it next week.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you, Dr. Dave. And we'll see you on the same bat time, same bat channel.
Thank you for listening to Slice Your Age. You are no longer alone on this journey.
Slice your age.